The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So my question for you today is, what does it take to make you whole? And not that any of us are ever going to feel whole all of the time, but I'm talking about those moments or lengths of time in our life when we feel that we have it together and we're on the right path. And then when you think about those moments, I wonder how many of those times have included God, your faith, your connectedness to God. Now, I know I'm on track to wholeness when I'm eating healthy and I'm going to the gym and my prayer life is, you know, swinging right along, you know, I can get to feeling pretty good. But it doesn't always acknowledge or make me feel whole. And so that is my question for us today. What does it take for you to feel whole? Today's gospel is often seen, and rightly so, as a story about healing and gratitude. But if you look deeper at it, and if you are up on your Greek, which I know all of you love to dig into the ancient Greek manuscript to find the true meaning of what's going on here, you'll see that the gospel also plays with the idea that in Jesus, in seeing God, in coming face to face with what God can do in our lives, we aren't just healed, but we're made whole. The gospel reading this week is one that is packed with meaning and is also misinterpreted, as all good scripture is. And we start with Jesus walking into Jerusalem. And we now know that it means Jesus is on his way to crucifixion. And he's walking between Samaria and Galilee, which is an area that many Jews avoided because they didn't like the Samaritans. So they would go out of their way to avoid Samaria. And apologies to our friends who are visiting from up north, but my example is this. Try getting to Dodger Stadium, but you don't want to take the 110 because you would have to go through that part of town where those people live. So instead, you take the 105 all the way out to the 605, catch the 10, and come back into Dodger Stadium, safely avoiding that area. That's what would happen. But Jesus is like, no, man, I'm just going up the 110 corridor straight. And so Jesus comes into this village with 10 lepers, one Samaritan and 9 Jews, so we think. But they were together, even in their differences, these two groups that wouldn't normally mix, they both had disease. And so in their outcastedness, they found ways to be together. And these 10 lepers come up to Jesus, not too close. Remember, they're unclean. And they come up and they ask Jesus for mercy. Mercy. Mercy because with their skin disease, they were cut off from society. They were not allowed to be with their families. They weren't allowed to have regular jobs. They were told to keep separate so no one else got what they have. And they come up and they beg for mercy. And Jesus grants them mercy in the form of healing. He says to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Just get over there to the temple. And that's all he says. And they go. And they are made clean. And they are healed. And then this is where things can go wrong. We all love to think that the 9 who don't turn back were bad people. I mean, you can hear the sarcasm in Jesus' voice. But that's not actually the case. Jesus healed all 10 lepers. Everyone can get healed by the power of God. And while they didn't come back and show gratitude, the reasons for that in talking about privilege and many other things is a topic for another sermon. But these are not 9 bad people, and I don't want you to walk out of here today thinking otherwise. They just have a different response. But this one leper, this one guy, the Samaritan, who would still be left out of Jewish society because even though he's all clean, he's still a Samaritan. Can't undo that. But this one man, he sees that he is healed. And I don't mean like the, oh, look, I'm all healed up. Isn't that nifty? Rather, he sees in the depth of who he is that he has been healed, that his life has been profoundly changed by this experience. And he turns back, the gospel says, and he praises God, and he connects with Jesus by throwing himself down at Jesus' feet, and he thanks Jesus for this gift of mercy. And Jesus, after querying about the other 9, which I think might be to point out that Jesus' message is for everybody, including the Samaritan. Jesus' mercy is for everybody, including the foreigner, the outsider, the member of those people. Jesus looks at this man and says, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. But the man was already healed, right? He was healed along with the other 9. How is this man made well again? But that's where you all got out your Greek manuscripts and you looked at the wordplay, because the word for well, sozo, means healing, but it also means to make you whole. Jesus says to this man, get up and go on your way. Your faith, your seeing, your healing, your recognizing the need to give thanks to God, your understanding your connectedness to God is the true source of your healing. All of those parts of the Samaritan faith, Jesus says to him, it has made you whole. And we all have the opportunity to be made whole in God. We all have the opportunity to do what the Samaritan did, to turn, to see, and to turn, and to praise, and connect, and to give thanks. And as I was contemplating this idea of being whole in God, and recognizing my own yearning for that connectedness to the one who creates us and sustains us. And I suspect, at least I hope, you all have that yearning too. I kept coming back to this moment in my formation for the priesthood. This will shock you all, but you see, there were these times in my younger life when I was prone to large fits of angst about where I was and where am I going and what is it supposed to be. This particular angsty period came right after my first year of seminary, and I was in the middle of a 10-week pastoral care unit at Loma Linda with a particularly challenging group of people. And one of those weekends, on my only day off, a colleague of mine was getting ordained to the diaconate. And so, being the dutiful, you know, one day colleague, I like jump in the car and I drive all the way to the other end of the diocese, and I drag my dad with me because I knew there wouldn't be a lot of priests there, and really we're all supposed to support each other in this. And so I wanted my friend to have more priests, and I drag another friend with me, bribe him with a dinner. And, you know, so there we are. And I remember I'm standing outside and I'm chatting with my dad, who is a priest, and with my friend who I dragged along with me, and with Bishop Bruno before the service. And what they couldn't see is that my insides were churning. I mean, what was I thinking? I'm like watching my friend about to do this and like, good gracious, absolutely not. I have no business going into this priest thing. I can't even handle hospital rounds. I don't know what to say when bad things happen. And no one's going to want to hire me. I'm a complete mess. Why am I following in my father's footsteps? Ah, the angst of our early 30s. And then came communion. That moment of sacramental time, when we bring ourselves just as we are, with all that we have and with all that we lack, and we come to the rail to meet Jesus in his most human of forms, in bread and wine, and to connect with that which has created us. And Bishop Bruno was distributing the bread, and he looked at me right in the eyes, and he didn't use the words we all know. He was using different words that day, and he looked at me, and as he placed the bread in my hands, he said, "Remember, you are the beloved of God." And right then, in that sacramental moment, I was made whole, connected back to the one who created me, connected back to the one who called forth my gifts in ministry. I was, I am, and I will always be beloved. And so is the Samaritan, and so is each of you. I doubt Bishop Bruno ever knew the profound impact those words had on me that day. But it quieted my angst. It reminded me of who I was. And there, in the sacramental moment, communicated by another of God's created, beloved people, I was reminded of my belovedness and of my wholeness when I turn my whole self to God. And that's the point of all of our sacraments, but especially the Eucharist. We come to the sacramental moment to be made whole, to experience the holy. But you can only actually experience any of the sacraments through or with another person. None of them happen in isolation. Even the Eucharist is not to be celebrated unless two or more are gathered together. Because it's as we recognize our spiritual and physical wholeness, we have to recognize the spiritual and physical wholeness of the person across from us. And when we are given the gift, the opportunity to not see it, but to see it, when we can turn, give God praise, connect with God and one another, and be grateful, we are made whole. And in turn, when we are made whole and we recognize our belovedness, then we become the vehicle for that belovedness to everyone else. We become the vehicle for that wholeness to the people who we see. And we communicate that belovedness and wholeness again and again to others in our life. Yes, you are beloved. And so is everyone else around us, including the people we don't like or we don't have use for, or the people being avoided by not taking the 110 freeway. Every one of God's being is beloved. And it is our privilege to see that belovedness in every person we meet. So what does it take to make you whole? Yes, eating right and exercising and regular prayer and community and time with your family and time with your youth group and time driving up and down the 5 freeway. All of these things are steps on the path. But most of all, we're made whole when we remember that we are the beloved of God, no matter what. So when you pass the peace today, when you come up to communion, when you go get your coffee and a donut, when you get in your car and drive away, and whoever else you may see this day, remember that you are the beloved of God, and the person looking back at you is beloved also. And in that moment of recognition, we are all made whole. Amen. Amen.